Hartman and Michael Riedel in the morning. We come together because opposites attract. 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody, on this historic day. And even if you don't like President Trump, even if you think he's a threat to democratic values, even if you think he's an authoritarian, even if you think he's a crude vulgarian who is ruining this country, you must acknowledge he has pulled off a diplomatic triumph, Len, by meeting with Kim Jong-un of North Korea and beginning the process of denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Good start. Let's see how it winds up. That's all. I mean, let's just be open. I mean, let's see how it all winds up. Kim has made a declaration that he's committed to denuclearizing. Well, let's see if it happens. Let's see what form it takes. Is it verifiable? Listen, I'm not going to diminish it. Good first start.
I'm curious. Let me ask you, as someone who's an Obama worshiper,
I'm not a worshiper.
How come Obama was unable to pull something like this
off? I don't know if he tried.
In 8 years in the White House.
I don't know if he tried.
He ignored it. He turned away from it.
We have a listener who wants me to correct something that one of the callers said.
Yes.
Which, of course, you jumped right on, thought it was just great. Remember, the caller said, well, Trump didn't give Kim $1.8 billion the way Obama gave to Iran. So listener Michael wants me to correct the callers and who claimed that Obama gave money to Iran, saying that it was Iran's money all along. Assets that were frozen when relations broke down. He didn't give them money. He just gave them their money back.
Well, okay. We froze the money because Iran was developing nuclear weapons, threatening Israel and making mischief throughout the Middle East. Right. So we had every right to freeze their assets.
You're right. And you can argue either way if they should have done it or not. That's fine. But don't the implication that Obama said, well, here's $1.8 billion that we're going to pay you. That's not exactly correct.
Technical.
So what was your big questionnaire about what happened?
What
we just asked, what we were just talking about.
I asked you how come Obama never achieved this summit with Kim Jong-un when he was in power for 8 years.
Well, Obama thinks he accomplished something great with Iran. Well, obviously, Trump doesn't agree. You don't agree because you just went, which is that a technical term?
Yes. It's diplomatic speak for you got screwed on that deal.
Well, listen, I don't. No one achieved anything. You say Obama, how about W? How about Bush Sr.?
Yes, well, Trump was elected to do things differently, which is alienating our allies and making our foes our friends. The world is upside down.
Let's not mint the Nobel Prize just yet. And I'm not diminishing what happened here. It was a great first step. And I think the statement that they put out is good, has a lot of platitudes. Let's see it. It's easy to say things. Let's see what the action is. That's all.
I'm actually waiting to hear, is Kim Jong-un going to say anything? I don't think we have any statements from him. And do we even really know what his voice sounds like?
He kind of has a low voice, like a guttural voice. But no, he did say some things when they were signing that agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And they were translated into English. So he did talk and we did hear his voice.
I mean, I guess he doesn't have to go back to his country and give press conferences because there's no press in his country that's not controlled by him.
Hey, Terry in the newsroom, if you're listening, dig up a little bit.
I'd like to hear the sound of his voice.
What Kim's voice sounds like, because I think during the signing ceremony with Obama, I heard it on the radio.
He was singing, "It's a small world after all, it's a small world after all." Also in the Big Three, on Thursday morning, beginning at 10:30, you can place your bets in New Jersey. Governor Murphy has signed the bill making gambling legal. Now, a little bit of a slippery slope here, Len, because you were telling me earlier in the program, you're going to be able to bet on just about everything.
We're going to check that out, but I'm told that you can do all of those prop bets, and during the middle of a game, you can bet on, the Giants have the ball, they're going to score on this drive. And listen, I'm not a huge gambling fan. I know...
It ruins lives.
I know the argument that people are just going to bet illegally, but when you make it so easy and so readily available, you're going to have some horror stories. You're going to have some families.
There goes the mortgage. There goes the pension. There goes the kids' tuition. There goes the 401k plan.
We're going to deal a lot more with this tomorrow with the ramp up and then Thursday morning when Phil Murphy actually places the first bet at Monmouth. But I think gambling's it's a vice like any other vice.
And rounding out the Big Three, the federal government is absolutely blasting NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority, in a lawsuit claiming that NYCHA covered up all of these rat holes that have been allowed to fester in this city for years, and the city is now going to have to spend $2 billion fixing up these places where, is the horror stories you hear from poor people who had to live in houses with no heat in the winter, no running water, vermin infested. People are getting asthma from the rats carrying insects or whatnot in these places. And the NYCHA officials, Len, when the federal government was coming to inspect some of these houses, they would run over there and they'd stick toilet paper in the holes in the walls where the rats were living to try to paper things over, to try to make it look better than it was.
Well, now they're going to try to paper it over with a couple of $1 billion over the next decade. And I got an email from one listener who said, well, how much graft is going to be involved with that?
Yeah, good point.
Really, I mean, so.
Good point. And the Daily News is calling Bill de Blasio a slum landlord in its blistering editorial.
And the Post said he should resign.
And the Post called for him to resign, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On a bright side, we'll have some Mets tickets. Michael's personal seat's coming up at 8:30. Mets are in Atlanta tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. Hey, did you happen to see Dennis Rodman on CNN last night?
He was with Anderson Cooper, I think. I saw him
Chris
with
Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was crying.
Well,
he was blubbering.
It started off fairly as normal as Rodman can be. It started off like this.
I talked to Kim Jong-un and an administration over there 5 years ago, and he asked me 5 years ago, we sat down for lunch, and he sat down and asked me, hey, Dennis, I would like to ask you three things. If you go back to tell the President of the United States these three things, and I would be willing to talk to him. And it's a true story, and I got my people here that was there that heard the conversation. And I tried to do that to Obama, and Obama didn't even give me the time of day. Uh-huh. I asked him, I said, I have something to say from North Korea. He just brushed me off. But that didn't deter me. I still kept going back. I kept going back. I showed my loyalty and my trustworthy to this country. And I said to everybody, I said, the door will open.
Well, then the interview took a strange turn.
Mm-hmm. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. When I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change.
Must have been tough hiding out for 30 days.
Well, I guess people were wondering,
get a grip, Dennis.
Why are you cavorting with dictators? Because back then, you know, we hated Kim Jong-un. Now we love little Kim.
I don't think people took that. People were kind of bemused by this. He said he was playing basketball with him. Didn't he say he was singing karaoke with him? And people were amused by it. I don't think he was getting... Well, you thought he was getting death threats?
He claims he was getting death threats. Maybe he's a little paranoid. I mean, he is an odd duck, wouldn't you say, Dennis Rodman?
A little bit.
Yeah. Was he always odd, even at the height of his powers as a player?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was always crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, a little nutty. Yeah.
He's going to be the next ambassador to North Korea, though. He is. Trump's going to appoint him. Mark my words.
He'd be the first one, right?
He would be the first one. We haven't had one. Ambassador Dennis Rodman.
I don't know. I think it's terrific that they met. I really do. I think that's a great first step. But just look at the commitment that they signed. It's two pages. It's the full text of Trump Kim. You can catch it online. The headline is the President Trump committed to provide security guarantees, mm-hmm. meaning that we're not going to overthrow Rocket Man.
He's got tenure,
and he says that Chairman Kim Jong Un reaffirmed his firm and unwavering commitment to complete the nuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now others will claim he said this before, but. So you just got to see what the actions are. That's all.
Trump has also said that we will suspend military exercises with South Korea, which I think is an appropriate thing to do. If we're in negotiations with North Korea, we can't be having these menacing military exercises off their shores. That would not be a smart move. Although South Korea is, I was kind of taken off guard by Trump's announcement that we're not going to be playing around with our military.
Well, that was an important thing. He talked about the war games.
Under the circumstances that we're negotiating a very comprehensive, complete deal, I think it's inappropriate to be having war games. So number one, we save money a lot. And number two, it really is something that I think they very much appreciated.
And then Kim Jong-un said,
역사적인 이 만남에서 지난 과거를 돕고 새로운 출발을 알리는 그 역사적인 문건에 서명을 하게 됩니다.
I have the translation.
Translation
is, why do they give Berman such a hard time on that morning show?
No, the translation is, come over to my house on Tuesday for karaoke night.
Okay. You want to know what he sounded like?
Yeah.
Kind of like a deep voice.
Yeah, deep voice.
I don't know. I have no idea what he's saying there. But Doesn't matter, does it?
Little roly-poly guy. When he came on, he came waddling out there in that very nice hotel. I like that hotel where they met. Get myself a room there. But he came waddling out, big smile on his face, and I really wanted him to pull Trump's long tie, just like pull him. And I wanted Trump to tussle his little hair, you know, a little show of affection.
Now, Trump gave a news conference that went over an hour. That was started about 4 o'clock this morning. We watched the whole thing here in the studio. And it's only his second news conference since he's been president. I mean, that was a real news conference. Of course, it was a one-topic news conference.
Well, that was a big topic
well, no,
to
no,
deal
I'm
with.
Saying, no. I'm saying...
You always minimize his accomplishments.
Because he's given one... news conference of the standard type. That was a year ago, February.
It's not as though he's inaccessible. You know what's on his mind because he wakes up and he tweets it.
Well, before he gave the news conference, he gave two one-on-one interviews, one with Sean Hannity, his buddy, and the other with George Stephanopoulos on ABC.
He really wants to do a great job for North Korea. I think he wants to denuke. It's very important. Without that, there's nothing to discuss. That was on the table at the beginning, and you see a total denuclearization of North Korea, so important, and he wants to do the right thing.
And as far as being a brutal dictator?
Kim is a brutal dictator. He runs a police state, forced starvation, labor camps. He's assassinating members of his own family. How do you trust a killer like that?
George, I'm given what I'm given, okay? I mean, this is what we have, and this is where we are.
Yes, that's a good answer. You have to accept the world as it is.
Well, I think the number one priority is the nukes.
Absolutely.
That's the number one priority. Yeah, he's a bad guy, but you got to get rid of the nukes.
Yeah.
Got to get them.
All right. Well, I am hopeful, Len, okay. And you're skeptical.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're on the left.
You're skeptical. I want to see results. Okay. Actions speak louder than words, Mr. Wrighty.
Hey, when we come back, this is a terrible story we got to deal with. Remember that teen driver who was involved in that crash that killed three people on their way to Jones Beach? She says she was behind the wheel because the guy who was supposed to be driving was drunk and high.
Mm.
Plus, Mark Simone will be coming up at 10 o'clock. Hey, if you missed the Mother's Day sale from Chamonix, then today is your lucky day. Right now, when you order Genucel, you will get the new Genucel Eyelid Lift for droopy, saggy eyelids absolutely free. And for the first time ever, you'll also get the world-famous Cristal's Microdermabrasion. That is free as well. The best sale of the year just got better. Here's what Claire from Raleigh, North Carolina has to say. I've been using Genucel for 3 days. My husband already noticed the texture of my skin. It's looking so good. It feels nice and smooth with lots of moisture. The bags under my eyes are minimal now. So far, so good. Call 1-800-577-8627 or visit Genucel.com and experience the power of looking and feeling your best every single morning. And help Chamonix's commitment to battered women's shelters across America. Order today and say goodbye to bags and puffiness tomorrow. Call 1-800-577-8627, 1-800-577-8627, or visit Genucel.com. And now let's visit Bernie Vider with a track.
O-R.
Good morning, everyone, at 8:24 in about 6 minutes. Don't call now, but we'll tell you to call for Michael Riedel's personal seats to see the Mets and Phillies July 11th. Michael will be giving that out at 8:30. And then after the news, we have Alice Stockton Rosini. This should be interesting. We're all yakking about what this Korean stuff means. Well, what does it mean to Koreans?
Good question.
To Korean Americans. So she is hanging out in Koreatown in Queens. Along Northern Boulevard, and we'll check in with Alice, I'd say, at about 8:42 or so this morning and see what the Korean Americans think.
Well, it'd be great if she could find a refugee from North Korea, somebody who got out.
I wonder if there are any.
No, there are a few.
There are a few around? Yeah. That would be unbelievable. Yeah. I would love to hear from
her. You know your assignment, Alice.
A former North Korean. That'd be tough. That deadly car accident on Long Island last Friday.
Terrible.
There were 10 kids. The driver, Cindy Sanchez, just 15 years old, unlicensed. They had stolen a friend's vehicle, friend's father's vehicle. The kid whose father's vehicle it was one of those killed. There were three kids killed. They were thrown from the SUV. This car rolled over several times near exit M9 on the Meadowbrook. They were heading towards Jones Beach. And she's been charged with all kinds of crimes. Well, more stories are coming out now. The prosecutor, she was in court yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor is identifying Sanchez as a known member of a violent street gang called Vatos Locos.
Well, I've never heard of this
one. That translates to crazy gangsters in Spanish, and they count among their rivals the MS-13 gang.
Oh,
now, the lawyer for these kids had some fascinating things to say yesterday. James Toner, first of all, he disputes the notion that Cindy Sanchez was gang affiliated. He noted she has no arrests on the record. But here's the part that's just going to make people crazy. He says, just give her a speeding ticket.
What?
That's all she deserves.
Three people were killed.
You know what? It's just a youthful indiscretion.
Wasn't her son or daughter with her? She had a toddler with her.
One of the people killed in the car was an SUV. Her brother. Oh. And now it turns out her son was reported at 18 months.
Yeah, 18 months.
That was 23 months. So she had this kid when she was barely 13. A 23-month-old son, Gail, was in the vehicle, escaped with minor injuries. Here's this attorney, James Toner.
I think her intentions were good. She had a child in the car, in a car seat. By all accounts, she's a good mother.
Really?
Her intentions were good?
Really? Natalie, you're a mother. I'm not. Is that a good mother with the 50,
with a toddler
23-month-old speeding along a stolen vehicle and you don't have a driver's license?
With 10 other people in the
intentions?
Car?
Right. Absolutely not. I can't believe the lawyer would even say that. How could he say that with a straight face?
Well, I don't think
she's
he's working
15. For... No license.
It's unbelievable.
I think he may be a court appointed.
The only
attorney.
Good thing she did is had the baby in a car seat. Was it?
Thank God for that.
Well, she's now claiming, though, that the guy was supposed to drive was drunk or high. That's why she drove.
Oh, well, first off.
Well, so she did a good thing, then.
Right, yeah.
Let her
Don't
off.
Go to the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Sorry. Don't have a ride now.
Bunch of teenagers in an SUV. That's a recipe for disaster.
I assume they were playing hooky. I mean, it was Friday around noon.
You know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wasn't she in school?
Well, apparently not.
No, she was not.
Here's some more from the attorney, James Toner.
She's sad. She's remorseful. She's depressed. She's 15 years old. She lost a brother and she lost her friends.
Yeah.
How old do you have to be to drive a car now?
You know what? In New Jersey, you have to be 17. 16, you get your your permit, but I'm not sure. In New York.
In New York, is it 15?
No.
It
might be older.
17, 18, probably. Maybe
yeah, I think it might be
17.
17, and then you're on a probationary
license
at 17.
At 18. I'm going to guess that's
true. You don't even have your full license yet.
And this lawyer wants her to get off with just a slap on the wrist?
Just a speeding ticket.
Exactly. And at 17, you can only have one other underage, under 18 driver in the car. So
this is what he told reporters. Right now in front of me, all I have is the offense that she committed is perhaps a speeding ticket.
This wasn't that unusual. A bunch of teenagers who wanted to go to the beach decided to take a car for transportation. It's not out of the ordinary. I've read some of the reports. She's just like every other teenager. She did not have the experience to be operating this car.
It's not out of the ordinary to steal a car.
And she lost control.
She's not like every other teenager. Absolutely not.
No,
give teenagers a little more credit than
She's just like any other 15-year-old with a 2-year-old child driving a stolen car without a driver's license. Just like any other teenager.
On a Friday afternoon when you should be in school, but you'd rather be at the beach.
She's unbelievable.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, I don't think she's just going to get a speeding ticket. Manslaughter charges at the very least, I would imagine.
All right. Here's the quote. Here's what you were referring to. There was another designated driver who was intoxicated, and she had to assume the role of driver. Wow, she did a great thing. She did not want to get in the car or have her child driven by an intoxicated driver. So I'm going to get in the car without a license and speed and weave in and out of traffic, even though I don't know how to drive a car.
But I'm going to make sure to buckle up my toddler.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
Anyway.
It's your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies on July 11th at Citi Field. I want you to be caller number 24. Be caller number 24 at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. If you are caller number 24, you are the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
Coming up on 8:30, which means it's time for the news. Joe Bartlett has some time off, and Mike Bauer filling in. Did I hear you tease something about Bachelor or Bachelorette? Is that your big story?
There is some shenanigans that are being called on by a Bachelor fans. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second here.
Well, unfortunately, you probably have to lead with the Korean story. I mean,
I got
to
do that.
I'd prefer the Bachelorette story.
But how about the lesbians in the Uber?
Yeah, you got
that too. So we're well-rounded, that's
jam-packed.
For sure. It's just an ocean spin a wheel, see which story goes first.
It's Mike Bauer.
Right? North Korea has agreed to give up its nuclear weapons, Len. The historic announcement was made by President Trump this morning after a historic meeting with Kim Jong-un.
Chairman Kim and I just signed a joint statement in which he reaffirmed his unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. We also agreed to vigorous negotiations to implement the agreement as soon as possible.
War games will stop.
Sounds like he needs a nap. I guess he was up for 25 hours, though.
Peninsula. It just seems to ring out there a little bit. War games will stop. Trump says verification system will be in place to ensure Kim follows through on his promise to give up his nuclear weapons. Now, the lesbian couple claims they were kicked out of an Uber car after kissing. It happened in Brooklyn as the couple were on their way to the East Village. Alex Avonia claims that it was just a small peck and has a message for the driver.
It makes me sad that you feel this way, and I would just ask if I could get an apology for how he handled the situation.
By the way, Mike, Michael Riedel's very disappointed that you didn't point out how attractive these two young women are in your news story.
Oh, that,
so you're
yes,
leaving out some important facts here.
Yes.
I think if you're going to do a complete newscast, right, Michael? That you should.
Yeah. So if we're rating them a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I don't want to go down this path because I don't want to get in trouble, but they're very
solid
attractive
nines.
Young
solid
women.
Full stop, solid 9.
I volunteered to drive.
They complained to Uber and the company is investigating. This news report brought to you by NYC Pain MD, treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE. That's 1-855-653-5633. Now the moment you've been waiting for.
Good stuff.
Bachelor Nation furious after ABC interrupted last night's episode of The Bachelorette to show the handshake between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Come on, no. Priorities. Really? Why would they do that?
Millions of viewers for The Bachelorette. Many of them lashed out on Twitter. One person wrote, "How dare you interrupt the rose ceremony?" Another complained they could watch the handshake on another channel if they wanted, so why interrupt The Bachelorette? Fortunately for them, when The Bachelorette resumed, the episode picked up right where it left off, so there was no delay. They just kind of paused and then went right back
ABC
to it.
ABC was smart. Yeah. Was this like a big finale or something with this rose?
As somebody who hasn't watched The Bachelorette ever, I don't know, but I happened to be watching ABC last night when this happened. Really? I thought they had this guy with long hair who happened to be shirtless on the show. I don't know who he is.
Of course.
Was naming who was going to be on the date, and then they went right to the handshake and came right back. Pause. Just nothing. It was just like it had never been interrupted to begin with.
Did he still have his shirt off?
Near as I could tell, he still had the shirt off. I don't think he put one on yet.
For the next newscast, I want you to get back to us. Was this a season finale?
Gotcha.
Has she chosen her man? I mean, this is important information, Mike.
I will dig deep for you on The Bachelorette, Len.
And
the shirtless guy.
I remember when I was a kid, I was very upset because they interrupted Battlestar Galactica to announce that Israel and Egypt had made peace under Jimmy Carter. Just cursed.
And they didn't jump back to the Cylons at all.
They didn't go back to Lauren Green in Battlestar Galactica. I was crushed.
Unbelievable. All right. Thanks, guys. Coming up next, WOR reporter Alice Stockton Rossini speaks with Korean Americans. This should be interesting. What do they think about today's big doings in Singapore? But first, Bernie Vider with traffic.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. At 8:40, it is Tuesday, and we're going to jump to Flushing to talk to Our Lady on the Streets, Alice Stockton Rossini, who's found some Koreans to get their reaction to this historic day when Trump and Kim Jong-un have met. But first, I want to congratulate Aaron Fish, who won my tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies on July 11th at Citi Field. Aaron is from Lakewood, New Jersey. All congratulations, right. Aaron.
That's terrific. You know, June 12th, significant date. Now it's the beginning of the peace process with North Korea. You know, there are some very, very significant birthdays today.
Oh, there are. I didn't know.
George H.W. Bush today is?
George H.W. Bush. He would be 70?
94.
No,
this is the father.
Right.
Yeah. Marv Albert's birthday today.
Oh, really?
Fellow sports
guest. I wonder what he's wearing.
be nice, will you, please? 77. I have no idea how old this next person is, but it's a significant birthday. One of my all-time favorite people. A big happy birthday to Alice Stockton Rossini. Happy birthday, Alice.
Happy birthday.
Oh, hi. How are you?
You're not happy.
I love birthdays.
No, you don't.
I love birthdays. Like hitting myself with a ball peen hammer.
She texted me this morning. She's so depressed. Don't be depressed on your birthday. You're not a year older. You're a year better.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Birthdays are life affirming.
Yeah, I'm affirmed. So,
yes.
I'm going to say the feelings I'm getting from the people I'm talking to is cautiously optimistic.
That's
Let's
good.
Let's go with that.
That's good.
All right. So, hit this guy, Zong. This guy's name is Zong.
It's a good story.
You think Kim's going to follow through?
Probably not. But this is a good start. This is started nuclear testing, all this stuff.
Well, that's the key. I mean, you know, it's a good start, and everyone's skeptical, as Zong is. I mean, is he going to follow through? He says, probably not.
But ultimately, what Kim Jong-un wants is security and wealth. So, you know, the fact that we're going to stop the war games with South Korea, that's good. But he wants wealth. And Zong was saying that he thinks the U.S. gave up some kind of business deal. There's going to be some kind of trade agreement or something where, you know, Kim can make a few bucks on this whole deal. This next woman, she doesn't trust Kim Jong either, but she talks about the ultimate goal for young people, what they want.
But at least they met up. I think that's the first step in some kind of unification.
So that's ultimately you would like to see Korea unified again?
Yeah. I feel like the younger generation wants a more unified country right now. I don't know what the older generation thinks. To some older adults that I've been talking to are skeptical about it. But I think people my age want to see unity while we're still alive.
Well, what kind of age is she approximately?
She's about 23.
Oh, so she is a real young person. I couldn't tell. Hey, so where exactly are you?
I am, well, I don't know what part of Queens I'm in, to be honest with you. I'm on 32nd Avenue, and it looks like 123rd Street.
Okay.
I'm not sure what area that is. But this woman, she was talking about the older generation. So here's what this seasoned South Korean had to say.
It's funny.
It's funny?
Yeah.
You think it's funny?
Send the missiles each other, rockets, and now they're going to talk. I don't know.
Oh, we went from rockets to talking. Yeah, so what can you say?
That's why it's funny. I don't know why they're going to talk now.
Funny?
World peace is
funny?
Hilarious. Does that amuse you?
I'm funny, how? Huh? I'm funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to f***ing amuse you. What do you mean funny? Huh? I'm
that's what Rocket
what is this guy? Is this guy Korean Goodfellas?
That's what Rocketman said to Trump.
What he's saying is, like, you know, just a few months ago, he's, like, tossing rockets in our direction, and now he's sitting down and talking. You want to believe this guy? What, are you nuts? So that's the bottom line.
You have a little skepticism from Korean-Americans about Rocket Man, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I talked to my sister-in-law. Her parents live in South Korea. She's only been in this country for 20 years, and they never believe anything that comes out of his mouth. But, again, she's younger. She's in her 30s, and she said younger people see him as being a much better dictator. They're all dictators, but a much better dictator than his father, and that he's more like his grandfather and appears to be more concerned about the people. Now, so, you know, the older people say, yeah, not so much. They're all dictators. And ultimately, they just want to see a united Korea.
Well, I don't know if that can happen, because if you have a united Korea, that means Kim Jong-un is going to have to give up power. I mean, if they're going to knight the Korea,
right.
South Koreans are going to say, yeah, let's go live under a dictatorship. That's not happening.
Exactly. So it's kind of, you know, kind of hard to sort that one out. But, you know, I'm not South Korean. And he doesn't want to give up. The other thing that I forget, I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were like, he doesn't want to end up like Saddam Hussein. He got to the point where he really thought that Trump might take him down. And that's the last thing he wants. So maybe he'll become, you know, I can't imagine him embracing democracy.
Hey, no. Alice, more important, how are you celebrating your birthday today?
I'm working. I'm here. I'm with you, my favorite people.
No, but this evening maybe a little
myself.
Dinner or something? Nothing?
I'm being myself on the radio. Now, I was out with my parents and my kids and my husband last night and my sister.
That's nice.
And we had oysters and beer, baby.
Oh, now that's a way to celebrate. Perfect. Excellent.
Happy birthday, Alice. You're the best. Many happy
thank
more.
You.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you,
thank you very much, Will.
She was down.
Happy birthday to you, Len.
I know. It's coming
up. Len's
in,
and so
days.
Is Trump's.
Yeah. Donald and I share a birthday. Yeah. Flag day.
It's gonna
we're
be
Geminis.
Fun.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my parents thought it was funny because I always said that it was Fag Day.
Len!
But that's what I used to say as a kid, and my parents thought it was funny. I couldn't pronounce my L's properly. That's all.
What do you mean? That's so cute.
Don't encourage him, Alice.
That's cute, Alice.
Don't encourage him.
Thanks, Alice.
Place your bets. They're legal now in New Jersey, Len. We're going to delve into that when we get back. Plus, Bill Clinton, he's talking about sexual harassment because, well, he's an expert
in
the
is,
area.
Yeah.
No question. Hey, let's check in on the traffic now with Bernie Binder.
8:53. So are they excited in the great state of New Jersey? Come on, Natalie, you represent the Garden State.
I
you
do.
Live there. Are
She's
you
got
all
a gambling addiction.
You all excited by the sports gambling?
I have to tell you personally, no.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Do you have friends who you know? Might
yes.
Be? Yeah,
that are very excited about.
They
it.
Are.
Are,
huh?
there a lot
they
of,
are.
Are there a lot of gambling addicts among the soccer moms?
Yeah, we're betting on the U14 soccer league.
You can now. If you want to, you can. Feel
so.
Free.
Can I place a bet that your son Sam will score a goal in his next game?
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
It would be his last game on Saturday. No, you know what? I honestly, I know in New Jersey, they say this is going to bring in a lot of money. The state is struggling. Okay, but is that the way? I have a hard time with it because I've seen, especially when I was in college in New Jersey, there was sports betting going on all the time under the table. I mean, everybody had their bookies and this and that. And I thought it was a horrible thing.
Well, but that's the point of the legal gambling because they're going to bet illegally. But I happen to come down on the side of I think gambling's a vice. I think a lot of lives have been ruined by gambling. And I hate to just make it so easy that anyone can just gamble their head off, especially the talk. Now, we're going to have an expert on tomorrow, the guy running the show. Who's the guy coming on tomorrow?
Well, actually, there's a company, William Hill. They're a sports betting company. And they're the ones that are going to be running the operation out of Monmouth. They're the ones who've put the infrastructure together.
Okay.
So he's going to tell us, you know, how it's going to work. And that's fine. I mean, if it's legal now, it's legal. There's nothing we could do about it. And there are people who can handle it.
There are, but
there are people
there are
who can handle
who
it. And that's, you know, it's a form of entertainment.
I've heard that you can, I don't know if it's true, that you can bet if the next pitch is going to be a ball or a strike. I mean, talk about being hooked in and having a gambling addiction. My God.
I mean, you've been to Vegas. You've seen how it works.
I don't remember bets like that. I do remember you can bet on the game. I don't remember
being
a bet on each pitch or each outcome. And
listen,
absolutely.
I have a friend who is a severe gambler. And this is a true story. I was walking down the street with him one day. We were talking, and he saw a cockroach on the street. He quickly said, "I'll bet you $100 it goes right." He would bet.
He was dead serious.
On a cockroach.
Yeah,
he would bet on a cockroach if it was going to go right or left next.
Well,
he was so addicted to it.
The governor signed it yesterday. Phil Murphy. He says we're finally making the dream of legalized sports betting reality for New Jersey. They're excited at Monmouth because they're going to take bets starting Thursday morning. The first wager will be placed by Governor Murphy and our Alice Stockton Rossini, the birthday girl.
Yeah, she's going to be next. She's going to be right behind him.
Second in line.
She'll be right there on Thursday.
You know, Big Mouth over here, who doesn't like gambling, I'm going to say, hey, put a couple of bucks on the Mets game for me.
But you know what? Like I said, I can actually see, I don't have an addiction issue.
Right.
I mean, so I would actually enjoy going to Monmouth, which is a phenomenal place.
I've been there. It's very pretty.
It is so beautiful. It's so quaint.
I agree.
It's a great trip. I would have a great time. I have a couple of drinks. My friends would make some funny bets. I'd probably bet like $5 because I don't ever want to lose anything more than 20.
Right.
I mean, I'm the worst if I go to AC.
Yeah, but you don't know. I can just see Natalie. You place that one bet and you win and you get a taste of it.
No.
Jump ahead 5 years later.
I'm not.
There's Natalie.
Homeless.
Homeless.
I am totally.
Hitting the bottle. Still scrounging for money to place a bet.
I will tell you, I'm that one person. I've lost $20. I walk out. I'm like, I'm done. Done. I cannot believe I just blew $20. So.
Well. We're going to be looking at this tomorrow with a gentleman from William Hill. And then, of course, Thursday we will be live at Monmouth. But this is a big deal. State of New Jersey, obviously, they went all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, Chris Christie was part of this movement, too. And it finally got the Supreme Court said, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea that all these governments think they're going to be awash in money and it's going to cure all of our ills. And
the root of this is that, Natalie, your state has been so mismanaged for so long is in such financial disarray that they have to tax vices.
I know. That's exactly how I feel. I don't really see it doing anything at the end of the day.
Now, he said, Murphy, one of the first things he said he was going to do was legalize marijuana. I know what's going on with that story in New Jersey.
Well, there was someone who just mentioned if he's going to be, you know, smoking a joint and placing a bet, you know, all at the same time.
Man, those soccer moms are going to be in serious trouble.
We are going to become Nevada.
Just don't go near any polls. You know.
Oh, no.
Stay away.
Hey, Len, you would grant me that Bill Clinton is an expert in the area of sexual harassment, would you not?
Yeah, first-hand knowledge.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
He knows from a blue dress. Well, the former president, he was on PBS, the PBS NewsHour the other day, and he says the norms have changed in society for what you can do to somebody against their will. Oh, no kidding. He said this in response to a question about Senator Al Franken's resignation from Congress following sexual harassment allegations. Now, of course, I don't think Clinton should go anywhere near questions about sexual harassment, especially when he's out there. He's supposed to be plugging a book he wrote with novelist James Patterson. But every time he gets on television, he has to get into all the hashtag Me Too, Monica Lewinsky sexual harassment allegations. And poor old Patterson sits there silently thinking, can you mention the title of the book, please?
Well, listen to the soundbite. It was with an interview with Judy Woodruff on the PBS NewsHour. And see if any of this gives you the creeps.
Get ready to cringe. Yeah.
I think it's a good thing that we should all have higher standards. I think the norms have really changed in terms of what you can do to somebody against their will,
what?
How much you can crowd their space, make them miserable at work. You don't have to physically assault somebody to make them, uncomfortable at work or in at home or in their...
Oh, my God.
Just walking around. That, I think, is good.
Anyone else? Back in my day, you could fool around the interns in the Oval Office, but the norms have changed.
You just can't get away with what you used to be able to get away with. The damn world has changed.
I can't rape Ronita Broderick anymore.
Has lost it. Totally lost it. If he hadn't before.
Yeah, no, he's got to stop talking.
She does too. Both Clintons should go away.
They just talk about anything, and here comes Hillary. What? No one mentions Hillary.
Shut him up in Chappaqua. Let's never hear from them again.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yes.
I agree on this one.
Ganging up on Len again this morning.
No. I don't disagree. I'm listening after hearing that. I've said Hillary should have gone away a long time ago.
Yeah, and Bill, too. So, all right. We've got coming up now the 9 o'clock news with Mike Bauer.
It's Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning to you wherever you are in the tri-state area or listening on the iHeart app around the world. I used to say around the country. But last Friday, we had listeners in Latvia, Saudi Arabia, and Austria all checking in with me. So it's amazing the reach of the app and the reach of the radio station.
Yes,
so
if you're out there around the world listening to us, email us and let us know where you are.
Yeah. Where in the world are you? So you can always email us directly to Michael or myself at go to our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
And we'd love to hear from any listeners in Pyongyang.
Yeah, if you're listening in North Korea, tell us about the
summit.
The dirt you're eating up there. Jeez. I hope it's better. Listen, you want? Come on. You can't expect. You know, people are after Trump today in news conference and are saying about human rights. Okay, we know human rights, that's not a good issue in North Korea. However, you're not going to impose democracy on any other country just from one meeting with the dictator. Len, it's not going
to
happen.
Have you been watching Fox again? What's happened to you this morning?
I'm a little skeptical about the whole deal because of past. Past history is... Are you going to say it's not an indication of future results?
Here's what CNN, National Public Radio, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, here's how they're going to beat up on Trump. They're going to thunder against the fact that he really didn't push the human rights agenda when he could with Kim Jong-un, because they cannot in any way give him credit for taking the world to the brink of peace.
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, Trump said in the news conference today that he did talk human rights. Mm-hmm. But second of all, as I just said a moment ago, the number one issue here you have to deal with is nukes.
Yep.
Now, my skepticism is only based on the fact that they did put out a nice statement, and it's basically words. So which is fine. I'm not putting it down. I'm saying, okay, let's have some action now. Let's look at the next meeting. Pompeo's going to meet with the North Koreans. Let's get it moving. Let's not make this like one of those Senate hearings where there's a lot of noise and then everybody forgets the next day what they talked about.
On the subject of human rights, you have to deal with your enemies as they are. You think China didn't have a human rights policy when Richard Nixon went to China and opened it up? You don't think the Soviet Union had a human rights policy when Ronald Reagan was meeting with Gorbachev to try to tap down the Cold War? Of course, you have to deal with your enemies. You can't rub their evils in their face if you're trying to negotiate with them.
All good points, Mr. Riedel.
Thank you.
Happy to agree with you. Thank you. Big three this morning. Of course, the Singapore summit is over. They did sign an agreement. What does it mean going forward? And it's going to time will tell. You know, yeah, I hate that phrase. You know, when the reporter finishes the stand up in front of the monument, and they said, "And what's going to be? Time will tell." But that's what the case is here. We don't know.
We don't know.
Let's hope it works out. Also, in the big three, step right up. You can place your bets. In fact, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is going to place the first bet. He signed the sports betting law yesterday. The first bet will be Thursday morning at Monmouth Park, and we will be there, and we'll see what he bets on. Rounding out the big three, Knights is a mess. We all knew that.
Oh, God,
they've been accused, and they've admitted that they've falsified all kinds of reports, and then when they knew inspections were coming, they would run around and hide things. They'd shove paper into holes in walls. I mean, real nonsense stuff and real illegal stuff. So they were owning up to it, and now they agree to spend over $2 billion over the next decade to improve the housing at NYCHA. They've lied. They've covered things up. But as some listener emailed me and said, well, it's all going to go to graft anyway. Where's follow the money. Where's that $2 billion really going? Where's it coming from?
So, there are 400,000 NYCHA residents, and here's what they have lived under for the last
how many did you say? 4,000?
400,000 NYCHA residents.
Wow.
And they've lived in apartments where children have been poisoned by lead paint. Seniors have been trapped in broken elevators, frigid temperatures in the depth of winter, and epidemic vermin-spurred asthma attacks. It's been going on for years. Mm. For years, Len. It's going to take more than $2 billion to clean it up.
The president spoke for about an hour in a news conference. It was nice to see a real presidential news conference. It was on one topic, but and there was some self-deprecating humor, which you don't often get from the president. He was asked about what's going on and what's the future going to hold and can we hold them to it, and here's what he had to say about that.
I think, honestly, I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
That's cute.
That was funny.
That was cute. I don't know if I'll ever admit I was wrong.
Had a couple of laughs from the press corps there.
Dude,
you know, Jonathan Carl was probably laughing his head off.
I don't think he was. And you wanted to know what Kim Jong-un
sounds like.
Sounds like. Well, here you go.
역사적인 이 만남에서 지난 과거를 덮고 새로운 출발을 알리는 그 역사적인 문건에 서명을 하게 됩니다.
Gangnam Style. Really? Okay. And then you had Dennis Rodman on CNN last night.
Crying.
When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats when I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home.
30 days. 30
but
nights.
I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change.
He was going to hide out for 30 days. He's nuts.
Straight jacket. Time nuts. For poor old Dennis. Oh
now, the God. Day before, crazy. We were making a big deal out of Larry Kudlow.
Yes.
Because he's an economic advisor to the president, and he was coming on, and he was part of the team that was sent out by Trump to say that Justin Trudeau stabbed the president in the back. Remember, we had a lot of sound bites with Larry Kudlow on yesterday's show.
POTUS is not going to let a Canadian prime minister push him around. He is not going to permit any show of weakness on the trip to negotiate with North Korea. Sure. Him must yeah. not see I American see. Weakness.
Well, that
sounds
was
a little out of breath there. And then guess what happened?
Well, right before the summit was about to begin, the handshake, the president tweets that Kudlow's in the hospital with a heart attack.
Yeah, a minor heart attack. Apparently he's recovering, his wife says, and he's going to be okay. But he sounded a little slightly disoriented to me in that cut that you played.
Well, it was an interesting, by the way, it was an interesting point that he made. He was saying that this was all about not showing weakness to Kim over it. So he was linking the two stories together. But apparently his wife called the Washington Post and said it's really not that serious. He's at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. Doctors say he'll make a full and speedy recovery, but it was just so odd to see that tweet. You know, the world was sitting there. There were countdown clocks on CNN, and we're waiting for the handshake.
And all of a sudden, got a heart attack instead.
All of a sudden, you get this Larry Kudlow. So which of the other? There's a lot of other little Trump-related famous
stories.
Well,
you know, we've been playing Where's Melania for the last couple of months here. Well, she returned to public life just the other night. She appeared at the Ford's Theater, you may know.
Ford Theater.
The Ford Theater,
yeah.
Which is famous, of course, because it was where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865.
And that's where I saw Godspell when they reopened the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they refurbished it. It was great. You know, for years it was in disrepair. And they refurbished it, opened it in the 70s, and I went and saw Godspell there. It was very cool.
Were you there for the opening of Our American Cousin?
Was that the...
That's the play where Lincoln was shot.
I don't think so.
No, he wasn't.
In April of 1865.
It's 1865. You had...
I had Mets tickets that night.
But for everyone to know, it is part of the National Park System, and it is a great place to go if you're in D.C.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Have you seen a show there at Ford Theater?
No, but I did the regular tour.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, a park, National Park System. So cool.
And you see the balcony where he jumped off.
Yes.
And broke his leg. And
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth, that would be. Yeah.
Well, Melania was there because Melania Trump, our first lady, I should be respectful, she was the honorary chair of the theater's annual gala tribute to President Lincoln. Now, I have to say, it's a kind of an odd place to have a gala tribute to Lincoln, the place where he was shot. I don't think that that's the appropriate place to have a gala tribute to Lincoln. Yeah. In the booth.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
It was a tribute.
Gala tribute to President Lincoln. That's what it says.
Annual gala tribute. Where else are you going to have it?
Well,
the hospital where he died?
No, you're not going to have a gala tribute to John F. Kennedy on the grassy knoll, are you? It's kind of tasteless.
He didn't die in a hospital. Right, they brought him across the street.
Across the street. Right.
Which you could go see, too.
You can go see that,
That's
too.
Part of the tour. I knew as soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. He died across the street. Yeah.
Yeah. So Melania has reappeared. She's looking very good, I must say.
Well, I like the way, this must be a poster. No, USA Today, it said, First Lady ventured solo Sunday night to Ford's Theater in Washington, gave a speech, presented the award, looked fabulous, and then went home.
She probably.
But she went unannounced.
I don't know how things are between her and Trump, but she may be eyeing that box thinking, maybe I can book us some tickets to see a play here at some point.
Now, this is the New York Post, speaking of the Trump family.
Yes.
It said Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner made at least, you want to guess how much money while working in the White House?
Well, they probably had to take a big pay cut, right?
Well, what do you think they've made while working in the White House? According to your newspaper, the New York Post, the two of them, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, raked in at least X amount. What do you think that X amount is?
$120,000.
$82
million. Whoa, I'm a little off.
Let's see. The windfall for Ivanka included $3.9 million from the Trump International Hotel, which is right down the street. She earned $5 million from her designer brand. $2 million in pay and severance from the Trump payroll corporation. Oh, they gave her pay and severance. She had to leave the Trump company. Give her a couple of million more.
But there's no indication that they're somehow capitalizing on their access to the president or their jobs in the Oval Office to make money. They would make money anyway. They're business people.
What are you, naive?
She's a business person.
Are you naive?
She's selling dresses. She's not supposed to sell dresses because she's now working in the White House?
You're telling me if Daddy wasn't president, the two of them would have made $82 million?
You would think, given his unpopularity, that people would be boycotting her dresses. But she's still selling them. What do you expect them to do? Just shut up their businesses? Close up shop because now they're working in the White House?
Jared reported that he's going to make between $5 and $25 million on a loan that's payable on his property. Wow, it's unbelievable.
Where's the loan from? Moscow?
No, well, I think so, yeah. V. Putin. Who's that?
No. The co-signature.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's what you got. It's going to be historic. I mean, it's a historic day. We're gonna remember the day when Trump and Kim shook hands.
Yes.
What becomes of it? Well, that's going
to
be the story.
There's going to have to be a follow-through, and we'll get into the technical details as history unfolds.
All right, coming up, Governor Cuomo is taking on guns yet again. And speaking of guns, little Prince George is embroiled in a gun controversy, and he's only 4 years old.
Jeez.
Plus, we've got Josh Lewin, one of the voices of the Mets at 940. We got Mark Simone after the news at 10. We got a cast of thousands coming your way. And right now, joining that cast, Bernie Vider in traffic.
Good morning, everybody, at 9:23. It's Tuesday. Now, here's an issue, Len, that I got to think this one through to figure out where I am on this. Governor Cuomo has ratcheted up pressure on Republicans who control the state Senate. He wants them to pass a red flag bill that would allow teachers, relatives, and law enforcement officials to seek court orders removing guns from people they view as dangerous. Now, I do think mental health is an area that we have to concentrate on. I think when people are displaying strange, bizarre behavior, making threats, they should be red flagged, especially if they have access to guns. But on the other hand, I can understand mental health advocates who feel, well, just who is it to determine who is nutty, who is crazy? That should be a judgment made by professionals, not by teachers, maybe by parents. I think parents could tell if their kids
are big issue, and I happen to hear what you're saying, and listen, my first instinct is, if someone's nuts, get the gun out of their hands.
Yeah.
But what's the line? Who draws that line?
What's the difference between being truly crazy or just being eccentric?
Yes.
Or displaying odd behavior?
And if you're going to judge it on social media, what's the exact thing that was written or not? Anyway, here Cuomo yesterday was on a bus tour, and he was going around trying to drum up support to Long Island. He was traveling on school buses to Long Island and the Bronx. He wanted to draw attention and getting, to wake up the Republicans. I guess that is how he felt.
We've lost more students to gun violence than we've lost military servicemen and women at war this year.
You know what? I'm against it if he's for it. Well, that sound of his voice.
I will tell you, his voice is not a pleasant voice to listen to. It's not a pleasant. It really is a strident voice.
There's always an answer to a problem if you have the courage to stand up and admit it. And maybe Washington wants to live in a state of denial, but this is the state of New York, and we don't believe in denial.
Oh, please. Well, that was a line that he scripted, tested.
He makes a point that Washington's doing nothing. Remember, even the president said, you got to stand up to the NRA, and then he caved. And,
he did, yes.
You know, everyone after Parkland was all on board, and then nothing happened. So it's left to the individual states and people, strident people like Cuomo, to try to fill the void.
And in many cases of these terrible school shootings, the shooters have displayed strange, unsettling, troubling behavior before they went in and they killed people.
When we talk about who, they do have to get a court order. Mm-hmm. So one would hope that the court could make this decision in some rational way, some legal way, to remove guns from people they view as dangerous.
But again, mental health advocates feel it stigmatizes people if you accuse them of having unbalanced thoughts.
Speaking of guns, a day in the park. Did you see this? A very pretty picture. Did you see this picture?
Kate
Middleton and little Prince George, and they're with her sister, Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge, and little kids, and they're playing with toy guns.
They're playing with toy guns at 4 years old.
And Kate has a huge smile on her face, and little Prince George has this toy gun, and I'm telling you, Twitter went nuts over in the UK. Completely tone deaf of Kate giving Prince George a toy gun. Another one chimed in. Prince George playing with a toy gun. Unbelievable. Kensington Palace, shame. This isn't okay anymore.
No child in this day and age should look at any gun as a fun toy. These guns look far too real. Somebody else wrote. They do look real, except for they have the safety cap.
They
have the red little safety cap.
The little red cap.
I'm curious, Natalie, you're a mother. Did you let your son play with guns when he was growing up?
He definitely had like the Nerf guns. I mean, those.
Oh, with the water guns, like.
Well, they have the plastic things that they shoot out. He had that. He had some replicas of old-fashioned looking guns when we'd go to some kind of, museum or something like that.
I still have my Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly. He had those. And I think we actually brought one back. Well, we were going to bring back one from Disney. I remember that. And I said, nah, we probably shouldn't do that. Because how are we going to get this into the plane?
Can you believe they used to sell guns when I was growing up at Disney World. If you went to Frontierland,
you could buy a
Colt 45 cap gun. Wow. And at the Pirates of the Caribbean, I had all the pirate type guns.
I had a problem coming back from Disney with a snow globe.
A
snow globe.
Was that a violent weapon?
Water. There's liquid inside of it. Aye. So I, spent probably $85 on this beautiful snow globe with my daughter. And I said, I'm not putting it into the luggage because it's going to break. I'm going to carry it on with me. So I had it, and she said, nope, got to go in the checked luggage. I'm like, but my checked luggage is already gone.
Wow, what'd you do?
So my husband took one of the carry-ons and ran it back to check in the...
Gotcha.
Wow. Ridiculous.
We did not let our kids have guns.
Really?
When they were growing up, the closest they came to violence was lightsabers. I remember as a kid I had guns, cap guns.
I had a lot of guns.
Looked like handguns.
I mean, we had some real guns, but I had a carbine rifle. It was a toy, but it looked like a rifle. I used to reenact the Kennedy assassination.
You're
with
kidding.
That rifle. Yeah, well, I was like into the conspiracy theories.
You would reenact. You are a sick puppy.
Well, I was
you
like into the mystery the bullet. Assault? Was there three bullets or four bullets?
What did you have?
That's insane,
did you have a book depository
Michael?
In your neighborhood?
No, but I would go up to my bedroom in the second floor and I would stick the gun. I would stick the gun out the book deposit window there and pretend the driveway was the grassy knoll and I would reenact the Kennedy.
You are a sick puppy.
I'm glad you
knew
history.
Now, what if he were Republican?
Thank you. I had a gun. We had a gun that was so realistic, it even came with a silencer back then, too. I think it was a James Bond gun, a Walther PPK I used to play with.
Does this explain a lot? He's in his room. I'm in my room with my Mickey Mantle baseball card. And he's reenacting the Kennedy assassination.
Thanks a lot.
It's unbelievable.
Boy, I'm so glad I shared that with our morning listening audience.
You all did.
Right. Sick puppy.
Let me get out of here by going to the 9:30 news with Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Some of us played Cowboys and Indians.
Exactly.
Some of us played Cops and Robbers.
Some of us played Lee Harvey Oswald.
Assassins.
Oh, all right, gentlemen, President Trump is headed back to the U.S. with a historic agreement in hand. At a summit in Singapore, North Korea agreed to give up its nuclear weapons. Trump praised North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Well, he is very talented. Anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it and run it tough. I don't say he was nice.
And he could play a mean fiddle, I hear. U.S. has agreed to stop joint military exercises with South Korea.
That's big.
Yeah,
that's almost like a concession. You know, that's a big thing there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mayor de Blasio says an agreement with the federal government will serve as a turning point for NYCHA. He blames chronic failures at public housing on decades of divestment and the national and local levels.
Even though my colleagues and I here did not create it, it is our job to fix it. And I want to be very clear, when I ran for this office, I did not run for this office to continue a broken status quo.
But you did.
What a mess. What a freaking mess that
is. Resign. Resign, as the New York Post says. Resign, de Blasio, resign.
The city has agreed to pay $2 billion for repairs, and a federal monitor will oversee the process. And this report brought to you by Rex Real Estate. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry, 2% total. Quick bachelorette update for you, Len.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Episode number 3 of the season.
Oh, okay. So it's not the finale or anything.
It wasn't the finale at this point. It was just the...
thank you.
It happened right at the rose ceremony.
So they always do a rose on every show?
I guess. I wish I knew the details.
But my guess is at the end of each show.
I think that's how you move on to the next level on some level.
So at that point, they were about to give a rose, and the nerve of ABC to cut to the Trump Kim Jong-un handshake.
Yeah, Trump was giving a roast to Kim Jong-un.
They had to give the pause button, and then after the handshake element of it, they just hit the unpause button and were able to pick
up
from that
I'm glad
you
cleared
point.
That up. So it's episode 3. It
yeah.
That. Thank you.
Glad I could give that to you there. And as the...
10-W-O-R.
9:41 on a beautiful Tuesday before we go to Josh Lewin in Atlanta for the latest on the Mets. They're here on 710-W-O-R tonight. They go for 2 wins in a row, I tell you.
Oh,
2 in a row.
Wow, they record
take on
breaking.
The Braves. Coverage here at 6:05. You know, we mentioned earlier that last Friday we had listeners in Saudi Arabia, in Latvia, and in Austria all contacted us. They were listening on the iHeart app.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, hey, really long distance. You know, where are you listening? I got one. Where do you think it's from?
Finland.
Right. Sacramento. She said.
Okay.
Sharon said, I was born and raised in Brighton Beach and Smithtown, Long Island. We left New York when I was 18. I've been stuck here in Sacramento since 1980. So our condolences, Sharon. I've been there once or twice for sports events, but it's kind of, it's not on the coast. You know,
well,
Sacramento's kind of stuck in the middle up there.
Sharon, I hope we give you a little shot of New York City every morning when you listen on the iHeartRadio app.
And thank you for listening, Sharon.
Indeed.
All right, let's go to Josh Lewin. I remember last time we spoke, first of all, good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning. I was going to guess Uganda because Riedel just hooked me up with Book of Mormon tickets, so that's still
that's
on my,
true. You want to tell
brain.
Do you want to tell us the general's name in Book of Mormon?
I do not.
No, I didn't think you did because Skipper in the control room would have his hand on the dump button.
Hey, how was the show, Josh?
It was great. I had seen it once before back when Josh Gad was in it. That's long ago it was. But no, this new cast, or I guess I have no idea how long this cast has been in it, but they were terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Enough Broadway. So the last time you were on the show, I'm tired of this Broadway. That's all Riedel talks about. He's like a one-note pony. Hey, last time you were on the show, I remember the Mets had suffered a horrendous loss, and I think you guys were flying to Cincinnati, And I had this brilliant idea that that must have been like a really bummer of a plane ride. And you said, no, everything was fine. So here's my reverse question. After the big win Sunday night, unexpected, 2-0, it must have been a great plane ride to Atlanta. Right, Josh?
It, you know what? There was Backstreet Boys on somebody's boombox. That's how good it was. and I was very surprised by that. I'm not sure whose boombox that was. But,
oh, you're serious?
You know, the guy, yeah, no, I'm darn serious. You know, I don't think these guys get too high or too low. You know, I think they really understand because they're all veteran players. It's 162 of these things, and you're going to go through a stretch of 10 or 20 at some point where it's not your best work, and then you're going to go through a stretch of 10 or 20 where it is your best work. And, you know, the weird thing about this year is that one of those great stretches was right out of the chute. And I think that set some unrealistic expectations when the team was 11-1. So it's kind of evened back out. They're really dinged up. I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys on the disabled list, and that doesn't help. But, no, they're close to a .500 team again, and they can go onward and upward from here.
A lot of pressure on Zach Wheeler tonight, Josh?
Well, he's in his hometown, so that's always a thing. And I'm sure he'll have dozens, if not 100 people, you know, that he knows and wants to impress tonight. So that's always in your mind. But he's been very good. A lot of these pitchers have actually stepped up in a big way of late.
Josh, give us a little injury update. What you've been hearing, Noah Syndergaard was pushed back. They had hoped he could play with his hurt finger last Sunday. He did not, and Seth Lugo pitched brilliantly. But what's the update with Syndergaard, and what's the update with UN assessment? His word is that even during rehab assignments, his quads are still barking at him.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Cespedes. I think Flores is getting close, and that's good news. I would be surprised if Syndergaard wasn't back in the rotation by this weekend. I think he's coming along just fine. But Cespedes is the one, obviously, that concerns you, and I think at some point he's just got to probably make an adjustment with his body and his brain to understand that this is a, you know, maybe kind of a chronic condition. He's never going to be 100%. He's got to figure out a way to do his thing at 90%.
Mm. How tough do the Braves look?
They're very good. They're a nice mix of veterans and youth, and their pitching is stepped up. They're not going away. I think they and the Washington Nationals are absolutely the teams you got to chase.
How is Mickey Callaway holding up, the manager? Because before the season, we've had him on the show, and he was so upbeat and so enthusiastic. And now I listen to his post-game news conferences, and he's obviously a little bit down with the results. Of course, you're not going to sound real upbeat after a loss. But how's he handling the day-to-day of what's going on with this team?
I think he's come through it. I think there was a time maybe a week or two ago where it really was hurting him, where it just wasn't making a lot of sense to him. You know, we've got a good team. How come we're not actually sticking the landing? How come we're not winning these games? But I think that with the strength of the coaching staff that he's got around him and the knowledge that it's, like I say, some veteran guys who have been there, done that before, I think he's pulling through it just fine.
Josh, since I am your Broadway ticket broker, what show do you want to take your wife to next?
That's a great question. I'm in your hands on that one, because I trust your judgment. You have not heard me wrong yet.
All right, I'll see if I can help you out with Springsteen on Broadway. How's that sound?
I wasn't even going to go there. But
by the way,
as long as you brought it up.
Speaking of entertainment, we had the clip last week when you and Howie and Pete, and you were there with Lisa G, and you're all singing a song about Keith Hernandez's cat. And I have to tell you, you know, as broadcasters, that was a pretty pathetic video.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. We pride ourselves on our ability to think on our feet, but when Lisa G says, here's a keyboard, go, that's really the best we could have done.
Yeah, I don't think Springsteen has anything to worry about from you, Josh.
But you were playing the keyboard, yeah, huh?
He was playing the keyboard.
Well, it was like this little $9 plinky plink, you know, I'm 5 years old keyboard.
He was playing chopsticks. Exactly.
I was trying. I mean, I felt like I was a giant. My fingers were huge on this thing.
All right, Josh. We'll be listening tonight. Mets and Braves right here on 710 WR coverage at 6:05. Have a great broadcast, and we'll talk to you down the road.
My best to Sacramento. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks,
Josh Lewin's big in Sacramento. No?
He is indeed.
He's a West Coast guy, so he probably knows someone up and down that West
Coast. Absolutely.
All right, coming up next, you had Pizza Rat. Well, now you've got Avocado Squirrel. You know, you just can't beat a good picture of animals with food in a big city. That's what I say.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage, and listen to this lineup of performers. Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Kelly Clarkson, Sam Smith, and many more. Exclusive access to the Capital One cardholder presale starts today at 1 o'clock. Begins day at 1 o'clock. Get your Capital One card and see the full lineup today at iHeartRadio.com/Capital One.
Right now, you can see traffic. And for that, let's go to Bernie Viter.
OR.
Good morning, everybody. 5 minutes away from Mr. New York, Mark Simone. And we've got some...
Wait a second. I heard Simone has a very, very hot special guest today at 10:40.
You're doing a show for the first time, Len?
Nah.
No.
I wasn't invited.
Now,
Riedel's
on. I'm on. That's
Michael
right.
Riedel once again will grace the airwaves because you haven't been on enough this morning. You're going to be on with Simone at 10:40.
It's very interesting. I'm a regular on Simone.
Yeah.
I should bring you along sometime.
Well, you know, if I get invited, I might consider it.
May have to get some security clearance for you to get into his studio, but it could be fun.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, we got some hungry animals out here in New York City. Remember the pizza rat that we were talking about?
Pizza rat. In fact, the Staten Island Yankees are temporarily on Saturdays changing their name to the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
Oh, that's right, because the pizza, he was eating pizza in the subway and whatnot. Right, well, right. Somebody filmed, a guy named Henry Zhang, he filmed a squirrel on West 73rd and Broadway. The squirrel was attacking an avocado in a fenced area in the Upper West Side sidewalk.
Hmm.
And this squirrel was unfazed by the guy taking the video. He was just having a go at that avocado. Somebody said he's clearly a millennial squirrel because he's a healthy squirrel. He was a little avocado toast with poached egg on it.
Now we have avocado squirrel to go with pizza rat.
Avocado squirrel to
What'll
go with pizza
What'll be next?
Rat. Who knows?
It's
on the website. You can go to 710WOR.com/Len and Michael, and you can see the squirrel nibbling on an avocado because, you know, that's a great thing to do during the day.
Well, you know what? If while you're at the website, check out this video, which I absolutely adore. I'm glad Natalie reminded me of this because I saw this yesterday. It's a high school baseball game in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a critical game to get you into the state championships, and these two rivals are going at it. The pitcher strikes out the batter, and this team is jumping all over the field, except not the pitcher. The pitcher walks calmly to home plate and embraces the batter who he just struck out and consoles him, and they have a long hug because they were boyhood friends. They had played Little League Baseball together.
Oh, that's
so instead of jumping around with his teammates, they're hugging at home. Isn't that a great video, Natalie?
It really was. I have to say I got goosebumps watching it. It was beautiful. Because I've seen that happen. I mean, you play against your friends and how hard it is to see your friends so disappointed.
Great, great video that would have made Spanning the World because nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
But it's a great video. Check that out on our website as well.
I think we can get this video up on our website too, Natalie, because I saw it this morning. A plane landed at the Orlando International Airport and a gigantic alligator.
Huge.
Was spotted on the tarmac.
The guy takes a picture
of the alligator from the airline window, and the alligator looks like it's looking at him through the window.
Looks like a dinosaur. I've never seen such a big alligator.
It is huge, that alligator. And they had to wait for the alligator to get out of the way before the plane could taxi in. So they did get the alligator, the airline, and they put him in an overhead compartment in the plane, and he died.
Oh, stop. Come on.
That's pretty funny.
He didn't fit underneath the barrier.
That's how you got rid of him. Fit underneath the seat, so I put him in the overhead bin.
That's how you get rid of animals these days. Just put him in the overhead bin.
That's it.
Awful.
That's it.
Remember we had the story yesterday about IHOP?
Yes.
And they changed their name to IHOB.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question was why? Because they're going to have burgers all day in addition to pancakes. So it's IHOB, B for burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And as I predicted, this is just a temporary, you know, thing to get some publicity. Well, anyway, all the other burger companies trolled IHOB on Twitter. For example, Wendy's said, you know, that's like making up a word when you're a kid. It's just like a finicky child, but our cheeseburgers are still better. White Castle said that it would be changing its name to Pancake Castle. but they confirmed they would not be changing the name to What a Pancake. And Burger King said... they changed their official Twitter handle to Pancake King.
Pancake King's a great name, by the way.
Pancake King is a good name. And French Toast Hut. Pizza Hut is now French Toast Hut.
Yeah.
I think that's ridiculous.
By the way, I saw this. Natalie pointed this out. There's a guy in New Jersey. You know, you get a picture taken, people just steal these pictures and use them for other purposes. So some porn site, this guy Edward Kelly, was on. He had a picture that he had posted of himself at a, with a Pittsburgh Pirates hat holding a bunch of money in his hand. Well, some Pornhub took it and used it. You know, like, hey, you could make $752 a day like me, the way this guy. So
you have to be careful.
Edward Kelly is suing.
Very quickly, scientists, they caught a little 4-foot black tip shark.
Yeah.
And they were going to do some research on it. But before they could get out of the water, a great white whale came up and chopped it and ate it.
Is that true?
Yes, pulled it right off the line and ate it. So, all right, did you miss anything today? Check out 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. We got all the fun videos all up there on our website, so go check it out. Coming up next is Mark Simone after the 10 o'clock news, but in honor of the meeting between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, we have our favorite Korean song right now.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppa Gangnam Style.